The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man. Elastigirl. Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Kaldao.
Your beloved patrol is doomed.
You're listening to Waiting for Doom, the podcast about the Doom Patrol comic that isn't published at the moment. So we're going to talk about the ones that were published in the past and wish for things that could be published in the future.
Yes. Hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarv. You can reach us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can find us on our Facebook page, which is the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com. And don't forget, we are also members of the Inner Circle Comics podcasting group thing.
Yeah, I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_Hicks. And the Sentient Show Twitter account is called Wilfred, and that's at WFDpod. And you can have a chat with that. And, yeah, no guests this week, Mike.
No, I think we outdid ourselves last week.
We sure did.
This week, we are going to be looking at issues 7 and 8. From Volume 2 of The Patrol, so some Kupperberg Lytle goodness as we go back to the 80s with that one. But first, Paul, how has your week in comics and life and such been so far?
Well, what a week. I mean, last week I think we really fanned the flames on a new Doom Patrol title by, you know, promoting JLU, Justice mm-hmm. League United, and Robot Man's appearance in there, and, yep. you know, got very excited, and we had a chat with Jeff Parker. Mm-hmm. And, of course, yesterday we get some interesting news. So just role play with me here. I'll be Jeff Parker and okay. you just ask me what's coming up on Justice League United.
Okay. Okay, Jeff Parker, before we let you go, can you tell us about what might be coming up in the near future for your awesome comic book, Justice League United?
Yeah, well, sure. Well, it's cancelled. So there's only going to be 3 more issues after this one. And do you like my work on Batman 66?
Yes, I thought that was pretty cool, Jeff Parker. What have you got coming up on that?
Well, that's also cancelled. So yeah, all my books are cancelled at DC. Isn't that awesome?
That's one word starting with A.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, for those who aren't aware, DC in the last 24-ish odd hours have cancelled 8 books.
From their yeah. Book. They're not all ones I was going to buy, but I had pre-ordered the Amiga Men trade because I wanted to support that in trade.
Mm-hmm.
I know everyone tells you over and over again that you got to support things by pre-ordering them as issues, but I don't want to own issues. I want to own books that I can keep
that's
on
right.
my shelf.
And that's completely your choice, and it's a valid choice. And, you know, if that's how people, not just yourself, Paul, if that's how people want to read it in trade, they should be able to, you know. There's still yeah. plenty other people out there that are buying the singles, like myself. So, but apparently that's not good enough anymore. So,
yeah. And the way I track my comics, I have like a spreadsheet that has a column called ongoing, and I list the titles that are ongoing that I'm buying in collections.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, it has a column called limited, where I list the ones that are limited.
That's very logical.
It is. And a lot of books just jump from one column to the other this week.
Yep. Yeah. So. Yep.
So.
We're losing.
Prez. I was interested in Prez. That's only 6 issues. All Star Section 8 was originally an 8 issue miniseries. Now it's a 6 issue miniseries.
Oh, I wasn't aware they dropped that. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Somewhere between the solicitation and issue 1, it actually changed the number. Amiga Men, of course. What else bit the dust?
Lobo is wrapping up.
Yeah,
so
no, I don't
Doomed.
Care about Lobo.
Doomed,
didn't care about Doomed.
Gotham by Midnight, which apparently was doing okay. Well, so I thought it was.
I would have liked to have checked that one out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as you said, Batman 66 is wrapping up. Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman is also wrapping up in December.
You're a fan of that one, aren't you?
I'm a big fan of that one because it's a brilliant Wonder Woman anthology, and it's actually better than Wonder Woman's own ongoing series, in my opinion anyway. So
I got a splinter in my foot the other day, and it was better than the current Wonder Woman title.
Wow. The other annoying news piece for me was that Green Lantern Lost Army is wrapping up with issue 6 as well, because those that know me know I'm a bit of a Green Lantern fan as well. Apparently DC have come out and said that Green Lantern Lost Army was always going to be a 6-issue miniseries, like Bizarro, All-Star Section 8 and Harley Quinn, Power Girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's never been marketed that way. Never, ever was it marketed that way.
So if it sold 100,000 copies, it would have been a 6-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm, yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So it's
anyway. I've been talking with Moby, and we want Jeff Parker to move over to the Flashbook because the Flashbook sucks at the moment. Or write a Doom Patrol, you know. But it's good to know that if there was a Doom Patrol title here, DC would give it like a good 2 issues and then cancel it.
Well, let's hope that if DC are so kind as to give us a Doom Patrol book, that it does last longer than 2 issues, because that's just really mean and really cruel.
It's really tough. I don't think books get any chance to find their legs unless they're successful right out the gate. You know, there's so many titles that I've enjoyed in the past that would never have existed today, I reckon.
That's exactly it. I mean, Omega Men, particularly for me, it was something different and had a different way of telling its story, and it was actually building up. It didn't hit you with everything all at once. You could tell that it's going to be a slow burn of a story, and it just was getting more and more interesting as it goes along. And now DC have dropped the axe and said, nah, sorry, you're not even going to get the full 12-issue run that the writer Tom King was talking about when they were first, you know, trying to hype the series up back in, I think it was February of this year, they were first doing the marketing for it. So, yeah, as you said, if it's not, you know, making gold the minute it comes out, goodbye sort of thing, which is really disappointing. It really is. I know they're a business and they've got to make money, but, you know, it's give stuff a chance to live and breathe, honestly.
Yeah, it's like saying, this 2-year-old can't play basketball. Let's kill them.
That's a fairly harsh analogy, but I think it kind of works.
Do you feel me, Mike? Do you feel me?
Yes, in a completely platonic and understanding way, yes. Yes, I do.
Yes.
But were there any bright spots in your comic-related week? Any at all?
Yeah. I've been reading. I got the Legends of the Dark Knight Norm Brayfogle collection, which Ooh. Is a gorgeous, very thick volume, which has about a dozen mostly detective comic issues by Norm Brayfogle from his great run in the sort of mid-ish, sort of 87 around. Then 86-87 I think era. So and he's a great artist. He does such a good Batman. really dynamic. I love his use of shadow, and just the outline he gave Batman was just awesome. Okay. So I've been reading that, and that's I've really enjoyed that.
Cool.
And apart from that, I've got a comic convention coming up this weekend.
Have you just? Awesome. Which one is that, Paul?
I believe it's the Oz Comic Con in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, did you say?
Yeah.
What do you know? I'll be there too.
That's amazing, Mike. What a coincidence.
We should hang out and
If we bump into each other.
Yeah,
if we bump into each other, we could say hi.
Maybe, yeah. Can I get your autograph if I bump into you?
Well, I'll be at the airport at 10 o'clock on Friday. So
right.
If you want to bump into me there, that would be very convenient.
Would it? What a just. We'll talk later. We'll have words later.
What about you, Mike? How was your week in comics?
Other than the news, which has disappointed DC fans, because people that know me know that, yes, I'm a bit biased towards DC, so a lot of the cancellations have bummed me out. But it's a decent week. Batman 44 was very good, written by Scott Snyder as always, but they had Jock on art. And it was kind of like a flashback tale about the current villain, Mr. Bloom, sort of set in the Zero Year time period.
It's Bloomin' Origin, it is.
It is, it's Bloomin' Origin. so that felt like an old school issue of Detective Comics more than a Batman issue. So that was cool. A new series called Tyson Hesse's Diesel from Boom Studios about a young girl, Dee, who's about to turn 18 and inherit her father's flying garage village thing in this sort of almost steampunky kind of anime kind of world. And there's lots of weird, funny shenanigans in that. So that was cool. JLU 13, of course, that was awesome fun. So after hearing the news, I'm still a bit bummed by that. So and I'm kicking myself that we didn't actually ask Jeff Parker what he had planned for after the Robot Man story. You know, our journalistic weaknesses were on show there or something.
Well, to be fair, Jeff just talked and we just... You know,
yeah,
had to sit back and ride along. It was great.
It was great, yeah. So it was an okay week. I didn't pick up everything in my box because I too am trying to put away money for a certain comic book convention in Brisbane this coming weekend, which I might see, you know, other people at. Maybe. You never know.
Maybe. So,
yeah. But yeah, it was an okay week. It was an okay week. I think, yeah, the news from DC has been a bit of a downer. And I'm kind of disappointed in them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not a great week in terms of comic news from them. So, yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, Mike and I, although we are the bestest buddies on Twitter and we do a podcast together, we've never actually met.
Not in person, no.
Not in person.
No. Yeah.
So he has no idea I'm a black woman.
Well, that's quite a revelation. I don't know where you've been getting that picture of the bearded gent and posting that up online when, you know, he goes to the movies with his son or something. That's very odd.
Oh.
I've been catfished. Wow. Jeez,
thanks for the money for the ticket, Mike.
Jeez, it's all happening for me this year, you know.
Is that the doom clock I hear?
I think that is the doom clock, thank goodness. Okay, so we look at the face of the doom clock and we can see that the last book for the Doom Patrol was issue 22 of volume 5, the Giffen Clark run. That was cover dated July 2011. It actually went on sale of May 4th of that same year. So it's been 4 years and 19 weeks since the last actual Doom Patrol book. How does that make you feel, Paul?
Shame.
Yeah, DC. The last appearance of the team, however, was only 5 weeks ago in two different comics. First being All-Star Section 8, Issue 3, where we had a cameo of the team in the background of a big meeting of all the JLU-type heroes. And then in Justice League United, number 12, we had another one-panel appearance of the team as Stargirl is talking to Robot Man and getting him to sign on for the mission that started in Justice League United, number 13, which came out last week. So... yes. Hopefully we'll see them again soonish. We don't know what's going to happen in the next issues of JLU. So they could still appear. We don't know what Jeff had up his sleeve. So, yes. This week in Doom Patrol history, we go back to 1987 on sale on September 15th of that year. Cover dated December 87 was issue 3 of volume 2 from the Kupperberg-Lytle era. And we talked about this
Kalki
one.
Kalki
goodness, yes. We actually talked about this issue back in episode 26. It was called The Fire of the Gods, in which the patrol were pitted against Kalki the Destroyer. And basically it was the wrap-up of their encounter with Kalki and his super-powered 80s action figure chair. as they fought their way free of captivity, and they stopped Kalki from launching his satellite of doom. So, yes, that was... If you want more info on that, go and listen to episode 26. It was some interesting stuff. Yeah. But that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
Today I'm Doomsplaining. We're looking at the Volume 2 Doom Patrol issues 7 and 8, which are the Paul Kupperberg run, with art by Eric Larson and inks by Gary Martin. And we're going to start with issue 7, which is has a great yellow cover of a guy exploding, and you can see the reddish outline of the guy in the middle, and there's little bits of metal flying at the younger members of the Doom Patrol.
Mm.
And it's pretty dynamic and spectacular.
Yes.
Anyway, so this is issue 7, and it was cover dated April 1988, but it actually came out in December 22nd, 1987. And it cost 75 cents, which is a bloody good price for a comic, I reckon.
Yes.
It's edited by Robert Greenberger, and he edited both the issues we're going to talk about today. And it's called The Kids' Night Out. As I said, Eric Larson, penciler, Gary Martin, inker, Paul Kupperberg, writer, and we have the letterer, John E. Workman, Jr., and colorist, Juliana Ferrita. So, let's get into this. You may remember that the senior members of the Doom Patrol have chuffed off to San Salvador for a bit of Doom Patrol missioning.
Yes.
And the younger team have been left alone to... at their own devices, really. So we see that, Scott sitting and watching the huge TV. Karma, Wayne, the punk guy, is dancing away to some heavy metal. And Larry is turned into a grumpy old man.
Can't you turn that damn noise down?
Yeah, and he's got his cane and he's wearing his dressing gown. And it's just, it's not the Larry I know and love,
he's
is it?
He's been severely aged.
Yeah. And he's calling modern music garbage. And then Wayne tries to settle... Scott gets in between to try and calm them down. And, of course, Wayne starts picking on him then. And then Rhea walks in and says, hey, why don't we all go out on the town and, you know, have some fun and check out the nightlife of Kansas City. And Wayne is torn because he wants to get out of here because he's kind of bored. But he was involved in a murder at the mall. If you remember back to one of the earlier issues when he did a bit of petty theft.
Yep.
Someone tried to stop him. The cops opened fire and someone ended up falling to their death.
Yes.
Yes. Which is, makes me think the cops are a bit to blame, but, you know. Anyway. And we get some fantastic exaggerated expressions from Eric Larson. Yeah.
That grin on Wayne on page 3 is hilarious.
Yeah, he looks like Matarita Lad. Yeah. And Rhea's rocking the big teeth too in these pages.
Yes.
Anyway, Larry's gone back to his room and, perhaps the reason he's such a grumpy old man now is he's missing his negative energy. So he's been doing some bit of casual hacking into Val's files. And due to comic book computer science, he can do some profile modeling to see, based on these files, to do a simulation to see, you know, how the negative energy could be transferred back to him. And he vows that nothing will stop him from sorting this out.
Well, look, when you've got computer monitors that big, nothing can stop you, you know?
Yeah.
Science magic is possible.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in I presume it's around Christmas time in Kansas City, out in the snow, a bus has just pulled in at the Greyhound station, and there's a fairly big figure in a trench coat with a fancy red cravat and a hat, and he's thinking to himself that he's going to make the big time with this job that he's here to do, when some bum accosts him, some hobo, some... street trash.
look, come on. All he wants is a quarter.
Yeah.
As it's written.
And he grabs the guy's cravat and pulls him down. And this guy has a metal face made up of lots of little pieces of metal.
And big teeth. Again. Yeah.
The metal man pushes this hobo to the ground. And then the hobo calls for the police, saying he's ugly. Now, I'm no expert, but is ugly a crime?
I would think not, even back in the 80s. It's a bit harsh.
Yeah. I mean, the police could have shown up and this guy could have said, this hobo accosted me. It would have all been over. Yeah. Except he is there to kill somebody. That's why he's come to Kansas City. But, yeah, I think that's quite unfair that he's been targeted. And the police show up. A car hits him. There's a bit of a shootout. he's made of metal, so that doesn't really stop him. And then we find out what his superpower is. He can explode his body with a scraboom sound effect. And then his body falls apart in bits of metal that pierce through people. And then his body reassembles with bits of blood on it from the people he has pierced.
Mm. Interesting.
Interesting. Yes. Then we see, meanwhile, the young members of the Doom Patrol have gotten ready to go out. And Wayne's all dressed up in his nice jacket and boots, looking very fancy punk. And Rhea is coming down the stairs in what I would describe as the most 80s outfit ever.
She looks like something from Gem and the Holograms, or Barbie and the Rockers. Very 80s glam punkish thing going on.
Yeah,
there.
She's got like a body stocking with a mini skirt over it and a little sort of jacket top thing with very, very wide shoulders. Mm. And a huge collar. She's wearing sunglasses. She's got the big hair going. Gloves as well. It's all going on.
Yep.
So they're ready to head out. And then Scott shows up.
And what's Scott wearing by comparison, Paul?
Well, he's dressed like a 50s dweeb, I guess you'd say. He's wearing a suit.
He's ready for the sock hop.
He's wearing a blue suit with white shoes and a red tie, and of course he's got his gloves on. And Wayne is not happy because Scott is there to cock block him.
Yep.
But Rhea has arranged this, so she knew exactly what she was doing, and she knew what Wayne was thinking with him and her going out. So anyway, so they're on the, it looks like a trolley car out into town. You know, they're trying. Wayne's upset, but he's trying to stay upbeat. Anyway, they're chatting away, and Scott is saying how Kansas is a lot different from where he grew up in New Jersey. And then he, you know, without being too much prompting, he's happy to get into his origin. And his dad works at an oil refinery in New Jersey and took him there. And his dad, being the worst dad in the entire world, let his son play with toxic waste when he was four. And he may have swallowed some. Good one, Dad.
Yeah.
And Scott, of course, is, you know, well, that's my fault for being an irresponsible four-year-old.
Jesus, Scott.
Anyway, so he demonstrates his powers. He picks up a Coke can, Finley disguised as a Coke can in the comic, takes his glove off and melts it into sort of white goo.
I love how he says, you know, after the incident, where he swallowed the toxic goo, he says a few years later, well, it was like in the comic books. All of a sudden, I had got these weird powers in my hands. I'm like, oh, wow. That's a little bit meta, but Scott makes it... Scott. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's lucky that's all he ended up with. Anyway. So, anyway, they hit the nightclub, and it's 80s disco.
Very much so.
Meanwhile, we see that on another part of Kansas City, there's a guy walking around singing New York, New York for some reason. Mm. And he finds this metal dude hiding in the back of a truck. And the metal dude explodes his fist at the guy, who crawls away bleeding and gets to a phone and calls the police.
Mm-mm.
Phone booth, because this is pre-mobile phone days.
Yes.
In the club, there is lots of lights and presumably music that we can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne hits the floor without Rhea because he Scott's there and picks the most garishly dressed girl in the I've ever seen in a comic.
Yeah. She's a looker.
She has green lipstick, green hair, except the fringe, which is entirely yellow.
Mm.
And she's wearing two tones of green clothing, a little skirt, and some sort of boob tube. Yeah.
Except the yellow becomes white in one panel. And then back to yellow a panel later.
Yeah. So Wayne is kind of scoring with her, and she's giggling. She says her name's Bambi. And then this giant wall of a dude shows up and says that he's... his name, it's Bubba, and that's his girl. And Wayne, being a bit of a tool, wants to pick a fight because he knows what his powers will do, which his powers interfere with people's ability to hit him. So there's a lot of swinging and missing. And then Rhea can't believe he's doing this, so she goes over to intervene and he makes her trip over. And then she subdues the big guy and then they have to leave. And is Cliff, is Wayne got a swastika earring?
He does indeed have a swastika earring. Because he's a punk. And
It's fairly poor form.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Anyway, so Wayne's ticked off. He storms out. We see out nearby there's the metal guy has got himself garbed again in big clothes. And this time he's found a little winter sort of balaclava and gloves. And he walks out the back of this shop and there the cops are waiting for him because he must have tripped a silent alarm on some clothing store. He dives through a window and then explodes and
imagine that.
Destroys a cop car. Wayne is angry. He's out in the street and he walks into the back of some police people and they recognize him from the drawing of the murder suspect and then he's on the run. He actually thinks to himself, "Feats, do your thing." And Eric Larson did draw a very cartoony page to go with that, with the police chasing him.
I love how how Wayne manages to eventually avoid the cops by diving into the snow.
Yeah.
And burying himself in the snow.
But within probably half a block, there's a helicopter has joined the chase.
Public enemy number one.
Not a lot of crime in Kansas.
No.
Yeah. So he dives into the snow, and then we get a pretty amazing full-page reveal of Wayne looking up as he sits in the snow, and there in front of him is the metal guy, naked.
Well, he doesn't have any metal genitalia showing, so that's good.
He's not junk metal.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Well played.
Yes. And he explodes, and Wayne dives out of the way, and Scott and Rhea have shown up just outside the alley, and they were wearing their Doom Patrol uniforms under their clothing.
Of course.
So they strip off and suit up.
I love how Rhea says she did that to keep herself warm, and Scott's like, "Oh, I'm wearing mine because it makes me feel like a real superhero."
Yeah. So they turn the corner and get into the fight with this guy, who is soon telling them his name, and his name is Shrapnel.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Wayne gets, he has his powers that affect people who are trying to target him, but he gets targeted by a pile of snow off an eave, gets and falls on the ground, buried in snow. And the others are in for a fight, and Shrapnel swats them away because he's huge. Powerful, and they're both lying in the snow unconscious. And then Wayne wakes up and says, "Come on, we've got to catch that guy." And so Rhea uses her magnetic powers to make them fly, which I didn't know she could do till then. And they go back to the Doom Patrol headquarters just in time to find the adults of the Doom Patrol have arrived. So we got Val Vostok, Negative Woman, Joshua Clay, the guy with the explosive hands, and Cliff Steele, Robot Man, man who is a robot, and Arani, who is a negative bitch.
I think her code name was Celsius, actually.
Yeah, and she dresses them down for being out doing superheroic things when there's a villain around. And Cliff sort of defends them a little bit, and he's very serious and said, "You know, if there's superpowered danger around, we'll take care of it." Yeah. And that is the end of the issue, basically. So, what do you think of this, Mike?
It was okay. It was, kind of the young members of the team getting into a bit of trouble and kind of learning about each other and Scott being Scott, and I'm sorry, Scott is such an annoying character. I can't recall not liking Scott this much, but since we've been rereading this series, I'm just not a fan of Scott.
He is such a caricature of a person. He's like, yeah. There is nothing to him. Like, he is, you know, yeah, just a white boy, just a plain old white boy. With, he's a bit golly gee, and you know.
Yes, yeah. Very much so. He's yeah. very innocent and naive, and but to like a ridiculous level. It's all. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it was an okay issue. I think Shrapnel was an interesting villain, and that full page where Wayne climbs out of the snow and is face to face with Shrapnel. That was a cool.
That is an awesome there. Page. I yeah. think that's one of the best things I've seen Eric Larson draw in Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
What and did I think Shrapnel is a very savage dragon sort of villain. And good call, I believe Eric created him and probably would have liked to have used him later in his own books.
Because I can't recall seeing Shrapnel ever again after this story.
He has shown up a few times. I think he's actually been involved in a Suicide Squad appearance at some point.
But I mean more with the patrol. I can't recall
no,
with
he never really again. Kept the connection with the patrol.
Yeah.
But he did turn up from time to time when they needed random villains for things in That's different good. Books.
Cool.
Awesome. All right. Do you want to take us through number 8, Mike?
Number 8. Again, we've got Paul Kupperberg writing this, Eric Larson doing the pencils, Gary Martin on inks, Jay Gatsby Workman was a letterer. I wonder if that's also John Workman.
It is.
Oh, there you go. Michelle Wolfman does the colours, and Robert Greenberger was the editor. And this issue is titled The Morning After, funnily enough, after the kids' night out. We open with the police all over the crime scene where the kids last fought Shrapnel, and they're, you know, trying to play nice with the cops, and they've actually found a piece of Shrapnel's shrapnel. And Josh is saying, look, let us take it with us. Our labs are probably better equipped to investigate this sort of thing. Well, you know, they've got huge monitors and stuff. Funnily enough, while the team is talking to the police, Wayne is hiding in the van that the Doom Patrol now drive around in. I don't know
it's
where...
It's a green van. It's a bit Scooby-Doo, isn't it?
It is a little bit. I don't know when or where they got that, but that's their Doom Patrol mobile or something.
The yellow plane, the green van.
They spent all that money luring the younger members to the team. And they thought, oh, we can only afford crappy old vehicles. So, of course, Wayne's hiding out there to avoid the cops. And the rest of the team finally make their way back and they head back to their headquarters to start trying to figure out what this piece of shrapnel is. We then actually cut away to what looks like a really shattered household, and there's a couple of dead people there as Shrapnel is looking at the TV and hearing about himself on the news. So he has a bit of a hissy fit, destroys the house a bit more, throws the TV against the wall, and makes off in more winter clothes, except he's found the world's largest jumper to cover himself, and thank goodness. And he's got his face wrapped in a scarf and earmuffs and glasses. So
he does more clothing changes in these two issues than Katy Perry does in a concert.
Wow. Another cutaway, and this time we're at the office of Arvid E. Reynolds, who's apparently a city councilman for Kansas City. He's talking to a mustachioed man in a suit with very dark rings around his eyes, who is basically giving this councilman a bribe to do something about the menace that is the Doom Patrol.
It must have said in the script, draw the sleaziest con man looking guy you can imagine. Because yes. That's what this guy looks like.
Yes, he's asking the councilman, you know, what are we going to do about this patrol? Where our people wouldn't have needed protection if they hadn't been here in the first place and caused all this damage. And how long do you think the city's insurances are going to stand for this? I don't know if that's a real word. Insurances.
Insurances. Yes, it would be insurers normally.
Yes, normally, but you know, what would I know about the English language? We cut back to the Doom Patrol headquarters. We see Val watching Larry on his giant computer, and she walks in as he's looking up her medical history. and he's kind of caught by surprise. Of course, they start arguing over the fact that the negative energy is his, and they kind of come to fisticuffs almost, because as he grabs Val, he's like, hang on, I can feel the negative energy invigorating my body, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit of bandaged people grappling.
A little bit, yeah. We normally don't see that till the Rachel Pollack era, but...
I haven't seen anything like that since the mummy fighting.
Yeah, well, you're in for a treat then. So, you know, of course, Val manages to throw him away because she's clearly still stronger than him, and Larry's basically crumpled to the ground, but not in the way that we're used to. So have half a drink, everyone. And he basically says, you know, he could sense the negative energy was pulling at him, and he will have it back. Damn, Valentina, he will have it back. As this is happening, the rest of the team have come back. They're trying to figure out what's going on with Shrapnel. And, of course, Arani's saying this whole thing with Shrapnel is just a diversion from the team's main mission. Can you guess what she's talking about, Paul?
Could she be talking about finding Niles Calder?
She doesn't come right out and say it, but, yeah, that's the implication.
She has a lot of agendas, and they're all that.
So as the team is sort of, you know, getting situated back in their base, we see this mustachioed man we saw earlier talking to the city councilman giving a envelope full of cash to interesting looking chap who's leading some people holding placards that read things like out of town and goons go home and get out of Kansas City. So clearly something's going on as this team of people start picketing outside the patrol's headquarters. They're clearly out to get rid of them.
And yeah.
Yeah. Not very nice.
No.
We then cut to another different locale where we see a businessman sort of walking into his offices, and he's busy thinking about what he's got ahead for his work day. As he lets himself into his office, we see his name is Walter J. Williamson. And who's sitting in his office but Shrapnel?
Yeah.
And Shrapnel's like, yep. I've been hired to come and take care of you. You are my target. When they told me you were the target, I almost offered to do the job for free. And
there's a fantastic close-up of Shrapnel here, isn't there?
It is really cool, yeah. When we see Shrapnel in full, he does look really cool. He says to Walter, you might remember the last time we spoke, 1979 Chicago. And Walter says, Mark? So clearly they know each other. And then, of course, surprise, Shrapnel explodes. Well, explodes part of himself, and he blasts Walter. And then, of course, everyone outside of Walter's office hears a commotion, and Shrapnel's trying to break free, and all hell breaks loose. The security guards are trying to get him, and Shrapnel's just swatting them aside. He then...
Isn't great upside-down people as he swats people. It's very cartoony, but it's awesome.
To make his escape, Shrapnel actually explodes himself once again, but sends himself down the mail chute to the lower levels of the building, and then he's busting through walls. He's made his way to the basement. He's throwing the police cards everywhere and causing more and more damage. Of course, the cops have notified the Doom Patrol, because they've said, you know, send everything you can to take care of this. And as we come back to the patrol's headquarters, we see that Josh has figured out that the piece of shrapnel that they found earlier is actually like a scale and like an individual organism that regenerates and gains sustenance from the blood of the people that it cuts. So shrapnel's almost kind of like a vampire almost in a way, an exploding vampire. So the team springs into action. Of course, who gets left behind but Scott. Arani says, we will travel by air. Scott, you will remain here and not get in our way.
Because your powers are lame compared to everyone else's.
Scott literally has a tantrum. He kicks a cushion around.
That's a tantrum.
Yes. And he's basically saying, you know, how unfair it all is. And, you know, this wasn't what he signed on for. But, you know, it could be worse. At least it's not his parents ignoring him this time. Meanwhile, we cut back to the fight scene in the basement of the building. The patrol have launched into action. They're trying to take on Shrapnel. Shrapnel, of course, he explodes. He blasts Cliff. He blasts Rhea. They're all starting to freak out. Joshua tries to blast him with his power blast. Of course, that just blows Tempest apart. So Arani says, ah, well, I'll do the reverse. I'll try and keep you contained in one big piece with a giant blast of ice. And of course, Shrapnel says, stupid move, because shattered ice is almost as sharp as me. And so Shrapnel explodes once again, causing more damage. The only thing that seems to actually harm Shrapnel is the negative being, as Valentina flies straight through him. But it causes her heaps of pain too, so... But Shrapnel's like, get out of me! What are you doing? Ah! And then, who comes to save the day but Wayne? And just as Shrapnel tries to swing a punch at him, the entire ceiling of the basement collapses on top of him.
Yeah.
As annoying as Wayne is, sometimes his power is kind of useful. So, as the commotion dies down, the police have turned up. They're taking away the injured members of the team. They somehow realize that Shrapnel has escaped. They can't find any piece of him. So, they're a bit at a loss as to what happened to him. So, as the team are leaving to take care of the wounded and that, one of the cops actually asks Cliff to stay behind. And then later on, back at the headquarters, as the picketing mob has increased and getting more and more vocal about wanting the Doom Patrol out of Kansas City, Cliff sneaks away and he confronts Wayne in his bedroom and he says, I've been talking to the cops and you really match the description of a guy they're hunting for murder. And of course, Wayne's reaction is, no way, Jack. Look, I didn't kill nobody, but I do got a record, okay, for burglary a couple of years ago. They get me with my rap sheet, they'll hang this thing on me no matter what.
And Cliff says, very persuasive argument. Hey, I'm a criminal, but it wasn't me this time.
Yes. So Cliff basically says, okay, a record. Right, Orion yeah, sure well, knows how to pick them.
So it's not like the young man with the mohawk has a distinctive look that would be easy to identify.
Yes. So Cliff basically says he's going to go and think about this some more, but it ain't over. And Wayne's sitting there looking very forlorn, saying, this is unraveling faster than a cheap baseball. Maybe it's time I got serious about splitting.
Yeah.
That's the end of issue 8.
Yeah.
So what did you think of this one, Paul?
It's just more of the same. It's another fight with Shrapnel. The team dynamics are still a bit... well, there seems to be a little bit more trust for Rhea and Karma in a fight now.
Mm.
But nothing's really achieved.
No.
In these comics, the I guess the subplot of the city council, the distrust of the Doom Patrol, the protesting has been started, and we see that resolved in the Doom Patrol annual number one, which we reviewed a few issues ago.
Maddox. Yes.
But I quite like Shrapnel. He's a really visually dynamic villain. He looks great. He's, you know, just the metal look of him. You know, made up of all these pieces of metal, but Eric Larson does a great thing where he's got really, you know, heavy brows and big jaw and everything, mm-hmm. and it looks perpetually cranky, and it's great.
Yeah, unfortunately, as great as Shrapnel looks, his actual plot is kind of just like, I was sent to kill this guy, and that's it. And the fact that he just managed to vanish and disappear... At the very end, it was like, oh, okay. So it would have been cool to see more of him and actually have his presence in Kansas explained a bit more. But, you know, I guess it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. And Shrapnel as a character sort of had a bit of a life beyond the comics as well. He appeared in Batman Brave and the Bold in one episode. And he was also a character in Arrow, the live action show. But he's not really made of metal. He's just a dude who likes to blow things up.
Right.
Yeah. And he ends up on a mission with the Suicide Squad and he betrays the team and gets blown up.
Right.
By Amanda Waller.
Wow. That's irony, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think the world's ready for a big dude made of pieces of metal on TV.
Or the budget isn't ready for it either.
Yeah, the budget isn't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a two-parter, it was okay. It was, as you said, there wasn't a lot to it. But yeah, a little bit more character development for the younger characters especially. Yeah.
But not bad. These issues are on Comixology if you really want to read them.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's probably it for Doomsplaining for us. This week on the Mailbag of Doom, we asked everyone what were the best headquarters in comics? And we heard from Ken with exclamation marks, who's Arch Enemy Comics at Arch Enemy Comics on the Twitters. And he said the satellite era Justice League of America. So I presume he means the satellite.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We heard from at Ostrakus1, who currently on Twitter has changed his user name to Evil Tick Meet Her Wank.
Thanks, I think Kevin. He's anagramming his name. That's
every time.
That's
yeah,
I reckon he's done.
Yep, every time.
He's Kevin something. Kevin W. I think.
Yeah, we haven't figured out what Kevin's surname is, but that's a doozy.
You know why
this
I haven't worked it out? Because I've devoted no time to thinking about it.
Yeah, come on, Anagram King, figure it out. Anyway, Kevin said his favorite HQ in comics was the Pit from G.I. Joe. That was cool. Yeah.
Ooh. I just watched the G.I. Joe films recently with my son.
Ooh.
Still not good.
Kill surprise.
We heard from Karthik Karkarella, and he said it was Cable so much that Magneto went, yeah, cool space, I'll be taking this now.
So. I think Karthik is referring maybe to Asteroid M.
Asteroid M?
From the...
M for Magneto?
I believe, well, and for mutants, I think. So
Asteroid Mutants.
Yes. Well, yeah, which is called Asteroid M, and that was like Magneto's sanctuary for his little clan of persecuted mutants. So I think that's what Karthik's referring to. I'm sure he will clarify for us once this episode airs. We heard from Ron Mann at Ron_Mann. I think Ron's a new listener. I don't think we've heard from Ron before.
New listener.
Hooray. And Ron says, the Fantastic Four with the Baxter Building, of course. Yeah, I love the old issues of the Four where it's got the cutaway diagrams of the Baxter Building. And it was very similar to the Patrol headquarters where they had all these umpteen bloody rooms and they all had a different function.
Yeah, you know you've got a real headquarters when you've seen a cutaway of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we heard from another new listener, Carl Brasades, who's at Caxtrem with an X, and he said the JSA Brownstone was the best headquarters from the Geoff Johns Justice Society of America comic.
Ooh. And yeah, Carl provided us with a very cool cutaway pic of their headquarters.
Yes.
Thanks, Carl. Yes. We heard from Moby1 at Shmoby1 on Twitter, and he said the Tiny Titans treehouse. And gave us a cool pic of that. I think that's meant to be Blue Beetle going, oh yeah, Titans, and flying in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the cool Tiny Titans.
I have to admit, I have not read any. But one day, I'll get there.
Yeah. I'll read it to you when you put me to bed one night. we heard from DM Elms, who's at DM Elms, with underscores in between that. And she sent us a YouTube link, and it says the best doll's house ever, and it's the Strawberry Shortcake house.
The very happy house.
Which is a toy place there. Yeah. So I'm sure there are Strawberry Shortcake comics, though I do not own any.
Yeah, I'm certain there are somewhere, even if they're not currently in print. They would have done them somewhere. Anyway, yeah, that was an interesting addition. Thank you, Dee. We heard from Cameron Williams at Wasgo on Twitter, and he replied to your question. I think you worded the question, here's your Doomy question of the week. Because Cameron says, did you say Doomy because it's Invader Zim? And what did I win for guessing it? So, I'm going to say
Invader Zim have a headquarters?
He does. He has the house that he lives in, where he plans and schemes how he's going to take over the world. So I'm assuming that is Cameron's answer. Thank you very much, Cameron.
Sweet. We heard from Rift, who's at Rift1821, the good old Rift who hosts me for computer usage for the podcast.
Thanks, Rifty.
And his Wi-Fi, which I'm using now to download things. And he said the carrier... the carrier from Authority. Need to go somewhere? I'll just open a door. Boom, I'm at fictional Paris or made up a stun or at Mike's Pony Farm.
Oh. I retract my thanks, Rifty.
No thanks from Mike for that one.
Moving right along, we heard from at Fractures, who this week is calling himself Category 6 Kaiju Frack. And he said, I did think the Jean Grey school was pretty awesome, but the actual answer is Batman and his Batcave. Yeah.
The Batcave does have a giant dinosaur, robot dinosaur in it, so yeah.
Yeah, but that's the Jean Grey school, that was pretty... Yeah, I'd have to go with the Batcave because I'm more of a Bat fan.
That's good. The Jean Grey school has classrooms and a danger room.
Anyway.
We heard from Nicholas, who's Nick RDE, and he said, I like the Avengers Hydro Bade. Base? Avengers Hydro Base, perhaps?
Let's say base, yes.
Base.
Bloody typos.
It's all about the Bade, about the Bade. Oh. And of course, it was destroyed by robots in Acts of Vengeance. Bloody robots.
Bloody robots. We heard from at Charming Red. Mum reads comics on Twitter, and she said, the Future Foundation, especially during Allred's FF run, is the best, or at least the most fun. So they had a cool headquarters during that series. That was good fun.
Jessica would know her comics pretty well.
She would, yes.
Yeah. We heard from Martin Gray, who's at Mark Gray, and he said, Armful Off Boy, which with a question mark, which is a reference to something Warren Ellis used to put on his blog, if I remember.
Right.
And then he said, my favourite headquarters is Superman's Silver Age Secret Sanctuary. The DP room is over the page. And he showed us a great big cutaway of all the different rooms of very Silver Age looking Superman headquarters. Yeah, very, very cool.
We also heard from Dr. Ange at Dr. Ange 70. Hi, Ange. You are the man. He said, my anticipated answer to the question of the week. And it's an upside-down spaceship rocket thing with a big sign saying Superhero Club on it.
Mike, that is the Legion of Superheroes headquarters.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I should have looked up the picture before I looked at the printout.
There's actually a story behind that where they did a secret origins issue which was devoted to headquarters. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that their headquarters is actually a person called Fortress Lad, who he has a superpower that he can turn himself into a fortress. And he did that and died protecting them. And then they just use his dead body as a base from then on.
Really? Wow. Oh, yeah, because
let's meet inside this corpse.
Ah, teamwork.
Sweet.
Deary me. Okay. Wow.
Plus, apart from lots of Twitter chat from Martin Gray, we got an email. Our first email from Mark Gray. Ooh, mm-hmm. Aren't we special?
Yes.
And he was, he's been listening to last week's episode with Jeff Parker, and he said, well, that was a rather excellent episode. Jeff Parker is a good value guest. Lots of nifty questions asked, but you missed a trick. Surely there's room in Batman 66 for a Doom Patrol guest appearance. Rita could be passing through Gotham to promote her latest film. Robot Man could be racing Batman for charity. Negative Man could be mistaken for Hush 66. Niles could be bragging about his genius. All sorts of ins there. Though in the tradition of the quiz, in naming them, I've likely ensured DC could never use such scenarios. Yes, in fact, you have named them all, and DC will never use them because they cancelled the book now. Wow.
Well, you dodged that bullet, Martin.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, anyway, get Mr. Parker on again when he uses Rita in JLU, as he surely must. No, the book's been cancelled.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, on another subject, you're neglecting the John Byrne run. Discussion of that would surely be fun. We did do an episode. We did an episode on the Byrne run.
We did dedicate episode 7 to a general overview of the John Byrne run. So if we're lucky, if Paul is lucky enough to find the issues of the Byrne run that he's missing, which would only be what, one or two?
2 and 3. I've got issue 1, 2, and 3 already, so I'm missing about, 15 or something?
15, yeah. So once we get Paul set up... We might do a Kickstarter for it or something. then we can discuss
$1,000.
Yeah. Then we can discuss the Byrne issues in depth. But yeah, if you want a bit of an overview as to what we thought of the Byrne run in general, check out episode 7. We might get to the individual issues one day, maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
To summarize, this is what we thought.
Yeah. Episode 7. You'll love it, Martin. You'll love it.
It's the best one back then. He said, all the best, Martin, the Legion of the Strange. And he said, P.S., quiz time, off the top of your cork-dangling heads, where does this patrol image come from? And he sent us a picture, which is some guy, I can't remember who, but someone does this blog where they mash up Marvel 2-in-1, well, Marvel comics with DC comics, and they did a Marvel 2-in-1 thing and the Doom Patrol. And it's got the cover image, which is where the chief is pointing a gun at the Doom Patrol and the thing's been sort of squeezed in the back there. but that image is from Doom Patrol Volume 1, issue 90, Martin. Mm. So, yeah, we know our stuff. And we've talked about that one in the past on an episode number. We're not going to tell you because we can't look it up right now.
I know the blog that Martin's talking about. I cannot for the life of me think of the name of it, though. So that's our homework for the week, Paul.
I'm not going to do any homework.
Right. Fine. Fair call.
Cool. So that's it for the Mailbag of Doom.
So that's it for our show for this week. Thanks again for joining us. As always, you can reach us via the wonderful Wilfred on Twitter at WFDpod. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can also contact us on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page, which, as Paul would mention, is always a hive of activity.
It's so busy. It's like so busy. It's like watching Coruscant in Star Wars Episode 2. That's
what it looks like. What will we be doing in our next episode, Paul?
We're going to do Doom Patrol issues 99 and 100 from Volume 1, which are way back in the 60s, and they are the issues that introduced the teen sensation Beast Boy.
Awesome. And do we have a question of the week for that episode?
Yes, inspired by that those two issues, our question of the week is, who's your favourite character to join an already established team?
Couple of good options there. But yes, okay, cool. I'll do some homework. Because we are actually going to take a break next week.
Yes, we're going to have a week off because we will be so burnt out from meeting each other.
We will. It'll be epic and we'll be so busy posting selfies and, you know, taking happy snaps and hanging out, getting drunk and stuff. And
yeah, getting other people to take selfies of us.
Is it? Not sure that's how selfies work. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Sorry, Mr. Selfie Expert.
Oh, dear me. Okay, yes. So we will be back in 2 weeks. We look forward to your responses to the question of the week then. And thanks for listening, guys.
And if you're missing us for the next week, why not pass the time by putting a review on iTunes or wherever else you find us, or listen to an old show you haven't listened to, one of our many fine episodes that we've got banked up, go to Inner Circle Comics and listen to one of the other podcasts there.
Yeah. That's it for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. We will catch you again in 2 weeks' time. See you then.
Bye. Just role play with me here. I'll be Jeff Parker, and okay. You just ask me what's coming up on Justice League United.
Okay. Okay, Jeff. So, what can you tell us about what's coming up next on JLU United?
JLU United? Really, Mike?
Shall I do that again? Sorry, I'm not very good at role playing. Here we go. We'll try this again. It's classic Hicks and Garves.
Do you still want next week off?
Oh, I thought we were doing the week after off.
Wow.
I thought...
I'm happy to have it off whenever I can.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting my dates mixed up. I know, that was you giving me shit about getting the dates wrong when I wrote back.
I never give you shit. What are you talking about?
No, never. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, fucking ever, never, ever. You like sack of shit. Do you give me shit?
There's a hidden track.
Sorry. Okay,